All right. So if you don't know already, Robbie's not here today. He had to be out of town, and so what we're going to do, he asked us to go through some of the meditations that we've been doing in class, and then we're going to watch a video like you do when you have a substitute, and I'll tell you where this video is coming from. It's coming from the FPMT website, which you guys are going to want to know about anyway. And I had on the board that we should definitely talk about Karuna Caton coming. He's a visiting guest who's coming, and it's really cool. He's coming, Wednesday, October 12th, to do Practicing Compassion in Daily Life, and then he's doing on Thursday a talk about parenting, and then a weekend workshop, which is Friday evening, Saturday during the day, Sunday during the day. And the topic for the workshop is the misleading mind. So I think that could be really cool and fit right in with what we've been talking about. So that'll be kind of leading up to our last class, which is on October 17th. So it's really cool just to get a variety of teachers. He is a student of Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. He's been in Koppan. He has this great history with our tradition, and he's just a cool, funny person that's been working as a therapist, and he's a really great person to come see. So part of what it takes to make an event like that happen is a lot of people helping out. Donna is going to come up here for a minute. She's our spiritual program coordinator, and I work for Donna because this is part of spiritual programs, and I can tell you it's lovely. It's a great experience. It's a great way to get connected. It's a great way to do more, to be committed, to meet more people. I mean, it's just, you know, volunteering, just even if it's to do a really small thing, it just gets you more engaged and to learn more and to know more and to do more, and it's fun. So I highly recommend if she comes up here and asks for volunteers, do it. All right.
Okay. I'll turn the microphone. For all the online listeners, I'm shouting because they can't hear me. literally, that's what my misleading mind was telling me.
So, Erin made some really good points that volunteering is, you know, a really great way to get engaged and get to meet people that you wouldn't meet otherwise. And so we have some. And sometimes to learn skills that you wouldn't learn otherwise, and sometimes to get a little bit closer to the visiting teacher. So we have three kind of categories of help that we need in. One is setting up and taking down the water bowls, which we will do for every teaching that he gives. One is being a greeter. That's like really low skill level, but you just meet people at the door and tell them where to come and where to find the bathrooms and all that fun stuff. That's great because you meet all the fun people who come here. And then the last one is being program assistant. That's the role that Erin plays for discovering Buddhism, but for a visiting teacher, you know, it sounds really intimidating to be the program assistant for the teacher, but in a case like this, you're basically sitting close to the front of the room and sort of being on alert if Karuna needs, you know, if he needs something copied or something like that, and then you'd run in the office and copy it. And I'll probably, somebody who can get you into the office if he needs copies will be here. But it's a great way to sort of be on hand, to be of service to the teacher, and you might not actually do anything other than sit in front and be ready. But think of all the merit you're earning just by being ready to be of service. So we have this handy-dandy little sign-up sheet. There's two pages to it, and it's organized by the different events and the different categories of what you might be interested in doing. I'm going to leave it out on the table out in the lobby, and I hope you all remember to stop and put your little names on it. Thanks, and we'll see you next week when Karuna is here. He's really very charismatic and personable and very knowledgeable. So even if you don't volunteer, do come.
Thanks, Donna.
And I'll leave you in here.
Okay. So The video that we're going to watch is on the FPMT website. And I wanted to mention this website that we used to have everybody who's taking Discovering Buddhism, we used to direct you to the FPMT website for all of your handouts and things like that. And we've just recently put them on our website. So the directions to get to those readings hasn't been totally clear. We're still working on, you know, making that a little bit better. But you might want to just know about this anyway, this website, onlinelearning.fpmt.org. So to be able to access anything there, you have to sign up for a login. Then once you sign up for a login, there's some things that you can access. To access the information for the different modules, you actually need this key. And so at the beginning of each module, I'm going to start giving you that key. So like at the beginning of Discovering Buddhism, at the beginning of meditation, there'll be a key code in that first handout for the first day. So I didn't put it in the handout for the first day for this class, but the key code, the module one key, is clear light. So it's like your password to get into that information. It's the Discovering Buddhism packet of information, the mind and its potential, that you access the PDF on our website is also here. So we, to make it easy, put it on our website. And I keep directing you guys there for your homework. If there's anyone who hasn't figured out how to get, is anyone not found the PDF for the homework and they've looked for it? Okay. So you found it on our website. No password needed. Nothing like that. So it's meant to be easier, but there's a few more things here. And some things that they do are kind of give you additional readings and things like that if you want to read more. So for example, for this module, they actually call this a required reading, but Robbie didn't require it for us. We have this special rack of books from Lama Yeshe, and this one is Becoming Your Own Therapist with the expanded version, Make Your Mind an Ocean. So this used to be two books, and now it's one. This is the last copy of this. But you can also get it from, if you go to lamayeshe.com. And the way all these Lama Yeshe books work is that they're free for you to take, and then there's also these envelopes where you can make a donation to Lama Yeshe. So none of that money goes to the Kadampa Center or through the Kadampa Center. We just kind of stock the books to be friendly, and then you can take them and make a donation, whatever you want. But these are good to know about, and that is mentioned in the mind and its potential if you go through FPMT. And then it lists some other books and things like that you might want to access if you're really loving this whole mind thing. So the video that we're going to watch is from that collection of stuff, and each module will have a video, I think. So if you like this one and you take another Discovering Buddhism module, maybe you'll just keep watching all the videos. Is that clear? Okay. Robbie asked us to review the meditations that we have already done. So we're going to do one meditation and then watch a video and then do one or two other meditations. And this is also what our homework is to choose the first meditation, which was reviewing these four characteristics of mind, or and you could alternate through them. You can do it however you want. Choose a new one every day. The second homework was this one. It was the continuity of consciousness. And the third meditation was this clear light. So we were looking for the space around the thoughts. So we'll do, does anyone have a preference of what to do tonight? Clear. Okay, so we'll vote. So number one will be characteristics of mind, number two will be without beginning, without end, and number three will be clear light. Okay, who votes for characteristic of mind? Reviewing these four. All right, who wants to do this continuity of consciousness? Got a lot of people not voting. Okay. Nature is clear light, the thoughts, the space around them. Okay. All right, so we kind of So we'll do the second and third one. And the first one is a review meditation. So it's kind of like looking at sort of the things that we've been told about these four points. And if those still aren't coming to you, then you can always access the recording of that first class under the recordings on the Kanapa Center website. And actually, something I think is really helpful, if you're having trouble focusing on a meditation or getting motivated to do a meditation, or you can't remember what Robbie meant or what he said, go to the recording. And on it, if you just kind of skip every couple minutes when it's like really quiet for a long time, you'll know you're in the middle of a meditation, and then go back a couple minutes till you find the beginning. And you can use that as a guided meditation. You know, that it's really clear how you download meditation, and you can have Robbie giving you this meditation every single day if you want. I do that. All right. So we'll start with that first meditation, which I guess we decided will be continuity of consciousness. Actually, we're going to start with prayers. So page 34 in this gold book. Okay. As Robbie said, we'll do the refuge prayer. We repeat that three times, the four immeasurables, seven limb prayer, and then the mandala offering. For the refuge in bodhicitta, we typically hold our hands with our thumbs in the center. For the mandala offering, gets more complicated. We practiced this with our hands one time. The way that I remember it, I start by kind of crossing my fingers, and then I take my index and loop, and then the index, or and then the ring fingers up, and then pull my pinkies down. So he was saying start with your ring fingers. Maybe you're supposed to start with your ring fingers, but I kind of think however you get there, you get there. I could be wrong. It might be very important to start with the ring fingers, but that's how I figure it out. Maybe, and if you get comfortable with that, you could try starting with your ring fingers, because that is meant to be the center of the mandala. And then when you dissolve it, you kind of... But I cross, wrap my index, put my ring fingers together, and pull down my pinkies. All right. And then the very last line, I tend to when I say it at home, I say it really slow, and when people say it here really fast, I mumble it, so I might stumble on that one. But we're all going to say these together, so we'll be in this together. All right, we'll start with refuge. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and the other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niratiyame. Yes, part is simple. All right. Let's meditate. Okay, so we will sit with our legs crossed or feet flat on the ground, back straight. So we don't want to overstress or slouch down too much, just kind of a natural straightness. One thing that's been really helpful to me is just to kind of like try to lengthen, especially if, you know, you sit for a while, to kind of lengthen between your ears and your shoulders. So you're kind of just breathing in and letting everything lengthen out. You tuck your chin just a little bit, so your head slightly forward. I think looking 6 feet in front of you is about the right place for your head. Your eyes will be open just a little bit so that you can let light in. Your teeth and lips are held naturally, not clenched, not hanging open. The tip of your tongue should touch the top of your mouth, just behind your front teeth. Shoulders are even, one's not higher than the other. And you can put your hands on your knees or your left hand in your lap and your right hand on top of that with the tips of your thumbs touching. So we'll do 9-round breathing. Robbie mentioned there's a couple ways to do it. I actually do it differently than he was saying. You can breathe, do it the way he's been doing it, where you breathe in one side and out the other side, like closing one side, breathe in and out 3 times, close the other side, breathe in and out 3 times, and then breathe out in and out all together. Another way to do it is to close one side, breathe in one channel. When the air is in your belly, you switch and let it come out. Breathe in one side, same side. When the air is in your belly, switch and let it come out. And do that 3 times. And then switch so it comes in the opposite side first and back out. Up, and then, so you're switching in your belly. And then 3 times normally. So however you want to do your big 9 breaths, we'll do that. And then as we settle our minds, we think about our intention, our motivation. It's our reason for doing this meditation. It's said to be the most beneficial for Mahayana Buddhists to set a motivation of bodhicitta, the wish to become enlightened so that you can be of benefit, so that I can be of benefit, not just to myself and the people I like, but to all living beings. So you can set the motivation. That's why you're here doing this meditation. And for each of our meditations, we've been focusing on the breath for a few minutes. So this is just the sensation of your breath going in and out of your nose. To continue to settle. So just based on our own experience, we can look at our mind and see there was always a previous moment of mind. What I'm thinking about now was preceded by a thought 15 seconds ago, which is connected to when we walked in the door, which is connected to driving here, earlier in the day, to when you woke up. You can trace your consciousness back. There will be big gaps, but you know you had a mind. You might not remember, but you know you weren't unconscious. You can trace this back years and look at the continuity of thoughts, awareness, perception. Even with the gaps, we know there is continuity. There's never a moment when there wasn't consciousness. We can continue to investigate that flow of consciousness. So for our dedication for this meditation, I'm going to take something from our readings. In Buddhism, we must understand our mind so that we can practice control and discipline, so that we have more positive actions and avoid negative actions. Eventually, we can eradicate delusions such as anger and hatred. At the same time, we have no occasion to accumulate demeritus karma. This is how we attain happiness and pave the way for future liberation. So we acknowledge that we've made an effort, something that has a positive impact on our mind. We make the wish that this positive imprint not be lost, that in the future it ripen in a way that benefits all sentient beings. You can relax your concentration. Does anyone want to comment? Does this particular meditation help you understand no beginning, no end, continuity? Is there anything that's come up for you that you want to share or that was helpful? Right, we've got one right there, Scott.
I'll just say that it helps me with attachment, and I was thinking particularly about a dog that we had for a long time that we lost not so long ago, and tracing back through her life and until we walked into that, you know, to the dog pound, you know, to get her, and then before that, you know, so, you know, then she wasn't part of our life, so that trying to hold on and, you know, to something, grasp something like that is futile, you know, that as it is a flow, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to understand that. Thanks.
Okay.
It's more on the situation when we heard that the consciousness, see, every moment of consciousness is preceded by another moment of consciousness, and the current one is going to be the base for the next one. No? Like now, we are here, it's a presence of consciousness, and we have another one before, and we are going to have another after. The thing that I'm trying to see, you could help me, or everybody else, is if the previous moment of consciousness is related with the next one or not. Let's see, for
example. The previous and the future?
Let's see, for example, we were in another place before coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So if this moment of consciousness, there is a connection with this one or not. So we could go through different moments of consciousness, but every moment of consciousness is independently of the previous one. So because just we are moving through another situation, no? But the thing is, if we are in certain way determining the next one, no, based on the previous one. So it's kind of connection or not? No?
Does our past moment of consciousness impact the future?
Impact the next one, moment of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
or determine the next moment of consciousness in a certain way or not? No, it's just a chain of. But in the other way, we heard that everything has a cause.
Mm-hmm.
So in a certain way, this moment of consciousness is the cause of the previous one.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the connection is. How's this connection, no?
Right. So you know, since I'm filling in for Robbie, I'm not even going to say that's a guessy question. I'm going to even leave that for Robbie. But I think, so we're looking at how, not just tracing these moments of consciousness back, but how do they relate to each other and what is the impact and things like that. So, yeah, we can talk about, I mean, we'll definitely bring that up with Robbie, but I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, when you're sitting with a meditation that you start to think about, and sometimes you can kind of find those answers in the reading, or we can talk about it, you know, we can ask Robbie or like that, but I think it's a good train of thought to look at. There's another question, a comment.
One thing he said is that different karmic imprints can ripen at different times. Mm-hmm. So I guess just because, I mean, if this moment might not be direct, it could be a previous ripening from something, other action, so it might not necessarily tie right to this one to the next. It could be influenced by.
Right. So our what we're experiencing now comes from our past actions. That's true. Karma. Yeah.
If I may comment, mm-hmm. Venerable Rabina says that everything, everyone, everything at all you come in contact in your whole life, every person, every situation is your karma. And so it has to do with another life, how it comes, how it happens, and that sometimes helps to mm-hmm. look at it that way. It's just my karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like where, not so much where, which exact part of what past thing came to this thing, but just knowing that it's past is impacting our current. Yeah. All right, before we get too much into karma. So our awesome media team has a video queued up for us. So I'm going to turn off my mic so that we can hear that. And when we come back, we'll do another meditation. Will be the different, some of the different teachers that are, you know, kind of popular in FBMT or that, you know, they're well known and give a lot of talks. And so it's little snippets from each of them. And total time is about 30 minutes. This is the middle. I think it's about the middle.
We can analyze this word and discover that there are many ways to.
There we go. Man, we could get it up to a million views if everybody goes home and watches it. We didn't do the meditation where we reviewed these four characteristics of mind, but they all came up in that video. So whether it was Richard Gere or Venerable Rabina, who, you know, has such a great way of explaining things quickly, and then says, so of course, it's this, right? you know, it'd be awesome if my, I would love it if my mind could work like that. So we kind of got a sense of all those in that. So that was a pretty good review, I think. And different perspectives, different ways of saying it. So we'll do our last meditation. Anything before that? All right. So we'll get settled again a little more. A little more sitting. This time we'll focus on our posture, as opposed to when we're just watching a screen, which we probably do all the time anyway. Kind of scan, Ravi suggests kind of scanning your body, looking for any tight points and kind of, you know, loosening those up. So that when you're sitting in the meditation, you're kind of more stable, not moving. Lengthening your back, checking your gaze, your tilt of your head, letting a little light in your eyes to stay awake. We'll go ahead and do 9-round breathing again because that's what we've been doing. There are other ones that wake you up a little bit, but hopefully we're not too sleepy after watching a movie. Okay, so do your version of 9-round breathing, whatever that is. So we're reminded in the video that our intention is very important when we do any practice, when we're doing anything really. As we practice our meditation, it's said to be most beneficial to set a motivation of bodhicitta, the wish to become enlightened so that I can be of benefit to all sentient beings. So you can set the motivation for why you're doing this meditation. And focus on your breath for a minute. So what you're doing is trying to increase your concentration and focus, using your breath as the thing that you're concentrating on. Now you can take that awareness of your breath and move your focus, move your attention to your thoughts, to the non-stop flow of thoughts in the space of our mind. Think of something from work, thought. Pain in our back, thought. Plan for dinner, thought. We may not always be aware, but there's always something. So be aware, and then let the thought go. Now we're going to change our focus a bit. Now that we've observed our thoughts, we want to get a sense of where these thoughts arise. What is not the thoughts? What is around the thoughts? It's not easy to do, but see if you can get a sense of the empty space in which the thoughts arise. To end our meditation, we will acknowledge that we've made an effort to do something to have a positive impact on our mind and make the wish that that positive imprint not be lost. In the future, it will ripen in a way that benefits all living beings. And you can relax your concentration. I didn't do a very good job of noticing when we started the meditation, but hopefully that was a good amount of time to kind of at least remind ourselves of the ones that we've been doing. Like I said, the homework is just to choose one of the two we did, or reviewing the four characteristics of mind. I typed it up, doing that 6 times, and just finishing the readings. So there's a PDF of the mind and its potential, and we've done the first reading, the second one, third one, and the fourth one is the longest, but I started reading it and it's not as dense as some of the first ones, I think. And then there's some pages from the wish fulfilling golden, I feel like I'm saying that in the wrong order. I don't have the wish fulfilling golden gem. Sun. Wish fulfilling golden sun. And do you have the homework?
Uh-huh.
What are the pages?
For wish fulfilling golden sun, 1 through 3 and 44 through 50.
And so that's for the people who are streaming. Or you can email me at program.db@kanampa-center.org, and I will copy and paste that in an email for you. But those pages, I think you have to find them in 2 different PDFs, but it's still on that same page of PDFs that we have for each of the modules. If it doesn't make sense, you can email me if you can't find it. But there's like 4 different places, or like a couple different PDFs, because it's big. So I think in past weeks I mentioned we don't charge for teachings, so that you can access them without any obstacles. But I think another way to say that is we don't charge for teachings so that we can all give what we can. As Donna mentioned, a way to contribute to the center is just by helping out, filling water bowls, greeting people, making it a comfortable place for everybody to be a part of. What Geshe-la says all the time is, you know, it's not my center, it's our center. So if you're brand new, you know, you need some time to get used to it and get into it and start feeling like that. But we want to encourage, you know, any of us who have been volunteering for a super long time. I mean, I'm a volunteer, our media team's volunteers, our bookstore's like everyone's a volunteer. we have 1 full-time paid person in this whole center. Maybe 1 part-time. We might have paid a little bit for the cleaning. I don't know if that's happening right now, but it's like everybody chips in. So it's great because there's always something to do. there's always a way to get involved. Robbie has, I took this class for the first time in 2003. it was January. It's like almost 14 years ago. He's been teaching different DB classes every single year. And the qualifications to teach this class, they're not easy. Like, there's a lot that you have to do to be qualified to teach this course. So he does that completely out of kindness to all of us. So, you know, if you ever feel like writing him a note on the last day of class or something like that, that is what keeps us feeling like a community, keeps us feeling connected, you know, all those kinds of things I'm going to just keep encouraging over and over again. So he'll be teaching next week, which is our second to last class, and then that's when we get to stay after and have tea and cookies, which will be awesome, and then we can just talk. I'll do cheese and crackers or something too, so we don't, people that don't want sugar don't have to have sugar. There'll still be a reason for you to stay. And then we'll have our last class. And in between that is Karuna Katen, so come to that too. Questions or anything?
I'm brand new, so if I'm, you know.
And so being brand new, we chase you around with a microphone, not because you're brand new, but because there's people that watch online and there's people, and we record this, so then if they don't hear your question, then they don't know what we're talking about. So that's why we'll just, so hold it up to your mouth.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
The space that you're talking about around the thought, I don't understand that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Is it too much to go into for...
It's too much for me to go into because I could lead you down the wrong path. I'm trying to think if there's any of the... Between now and next week. I mean, you could... if you listen to the recording of the very first class,
yeah.
That's when Robbie went through each of those four things
okay. And
it kind of defined each of them. Venerable Rubina kind of started talking about it, but then kind of went to aspects of Buddhist. So the way you get to the recordings is Kadampa Center, and I think recordings is right at the top.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I would recommend that just listening to the very first one.
Okay.
And in a lot of it, he talks about like prayers and what kind of, if you're brand new to this center at all, it like goes into a lot of great information about like what kind of center this is and where the tradition comes from and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And if you are brand new to the center, I will recommend you to go first to meditation 101 and Buddhism in a nutshell before came here because it's more easy to understand all these concepts and everything. For me, it was more easy maybe. It can work for you.
This is a beginner level class, so it's good. And then on Tuesday nights is a different night where we offer these other classes that she's talking about. So you can kind of look at that on the website too. There's not a particular order, but it is helpful to do Buddhism in a nutshell and Meditation 101.
Okay.
And those are on Tuesday. But like sometimes it depends on your schedule and stuff too. So but that's good advice. Yeah.
Buddhism in a nutshell is also available in the book. A book in our bookstore has a great CD with it that Venerable Amy Miller wrote the book with Lama Zopa Rinpoche.
Okay.
They're reordering.
Which is being reordered.
So that'll come up. So you'll be able to get that in your bookstore soon, says our bookstore volunteer.
I think it's available on Amazon as well.
Yeah, it is. I've seen it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But keep coming back. You know, just keep coming. I mean, like I said, the first time I took this class was a very long time ago. So sometimes it takes a while to let it all sink in. All right, you guys, thank you so much, and I will see you next week, but not, I won't be off. Oh. Okay, yeah, so if you're listening, are we still on, Chris? If you want to go to the FPMT website to access anything, onlinelearning.fpmt.org, the key for anything that you want to know about the mind and its potential is the word, two words, no space. Clear light. So that's your secret password, clear light, at the FPMT website.